I was so sick this week. And so anyway, it's good to have everybody here. We've got a lot gone this morning, a lot of people out with their families and on trips. And but for those of us that are here, it's really good to be in the house of the Lord. And so what a week it has been. Merry Christmas to each of you. And what a year it has been. It's been quite a year. This last month, as I've been pondering and thinking about the events of this year, boy, it's kind of been all over. Lots of changes, lots of events, lots of trials, lots of victories. A lot of things happened this year of 2012. Christmas always evokes a lot of emotions, a lot of different emotions in people. For some, it really is the most wonderful time of the year. For others, it's the most dreaded time of the year. And I think the difference really is where our focus is. I've been challenged this Christmas season, and I guess that's what I wanted to talk about this morning was it's not just because it's Christmas. I think it's because of all that I've seen going on in the world around us. I've really been challenged to guard my heart from a self-centered thinking. And I really want to go into the new year that way. I really want to go into the new year with a purposed intention of being very careful and not becoming self-centered, not staying in that place of this self-consumed position in our hearts and in our minds. And I have been a part of this fellowship for many years, and I am always challenged by how much we give out and how much we look to the needs of our community and to the world around us, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful, but on a personal level, I really want to go into the new year with a fresh perspective of that. And our world, our whole world, is very self-focused. It's very self-driven. It's self-motivated. It's self-seeking. It's just plain selfish. I heard it said there is a Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there is an unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. And often that's the Trinity that we worship, the me, myself, and I. In the book of Ecclesiastes, if you've got your Bibles this morning, King Solomon, wisest of all kings, wealthiest of all, he wrote in chapter 2, and I want to sort of start in verse 4, Ecclesiastes 2:4. And if you'll just look at how often he makes mention of himself here, he said, I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. And then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. King Solomon said all of it was nothing. No profit, no pleasure, no gain. Everything that I did, I didn't withhold anything from my desires, from my hand, and yet I found no pleasure in it. There was no profit under the sun. See, the whole world is trying to gain what this man possessed, trying to gain the wealth this man knew, trying to obtain even the wisdom that he had, and yet he concludes that everything he obtained with his own hands was vanity. The issue of selfishness runs so deep in the lives of people. It has really become an accepted way of life. You hardly hear of it anymore. People even saying the word, oh, you're selfish. It's hardly even talked about anymore. And I believe it's because in many ways sin is very tolerated. And because sin is tolerated, selfishness is tolerated. It's just kind of what people expect other people to be like, and it's become accepted. The truth is where there is sin, there is selfishness. In James 3:16, the scripture says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Where self-seeking exists, every evil thing is there. The rise of divorce is rooted in selfishness. The root of adultery is selfishness. The root of pornography is selfishness. The root of the abortion holocaust is selfishness. The root of every evil thing is selfishness. Sin is wrapped in self. As I've looked at all of this, I see it everywhere. Selfishness is so much a part of our everyday lives. We don't even give a second thought to it. It's in all of the little things. We just kind of go through the motions of life and never consider how very selfish we are, how self-centered we are. I had some time yesterday in Tyler. I made a vow last year that I broke yesterday. I said, I will not go into Tyler the week before Christmas, no matter what I might need. I broke that vow yesterday, and there were long lines everywhere. People refusing to let other people in. I just thought, selfishness. Taking that last Oreo box and hiding it in the cabinet so that nobody eats your last cookie. I know. Selfishness. Black Friday shopping. Do we need to say anything about that? I'm going to step on a few toes, call waiting. I even say cell phones. Twitter, we want instant information. I want people to hear me now. I want to be able to reach you anytime, anywhere, anytime, hour of the day. Why didn't you answer your phone? I know you have call waiting. In some of our churches, even our gospel message. Come to Jesus. He will make you happy. He'll fix everything. Why wouldn't you want Jesus? He can make everything good. It's still about you. It's still about me. Boy, we're an irritable people. Irritated with other people, irritated with barking dogs, babies crying, irritated with people's whatever. This week, I coughed until I could not breathe, and I am sure that my family was quite irritated. Selfishness. Impatience of every kind. Well, just let me do it. I don't have time for this. Just let me take care of it. I can't believe what an inconvenience this is. Credit card debt. Selfishness. Greed, lying, manipulating, deceiving. All due to selfishness. Even why we celebrate Christmas. If you think about it, it can be argued that December 25th really was not the day Jesus was born. But we've put that aside, and we're not going to get into all that this morning. But the truth is let's just say on your birthday, we acknowledged your birthday. And then we decided to have all these parties in honor of your birthday. And then we bought presents for everybody in the whole world except for you. How selfish even the celebration of the birth of Christ has become. Everything about our Lord, however, was unselfish. Even from his birth, everything he did was for mankind, for others. You see, he was without sin. And so therefore, he could not have been selfish in any way. When I think of his life, there's so much that he conquered, so much that he did. And I am personally challenged in my life to conquer a self-centered, selfish way of life. He was forsaken, but he did not forsake. He was selfless. He was beaten, but he did not retaliate. He was selfless. He was accused, but he did not defend, because he was selfless. Jesus laid down his kingdom to come to earth. He was selfless. He left his throne and his position because he was selfless. He came to serve us because he was selfless. He gave up his life for us because he was selfless. Even his prayers were selfless. Not my will, but thy will be done. He prayed that we would know the Father, not even himself. He was selfless in all that he did and all that he said. I don't want to be selfish. And I want my life to be a life that is surrendered. But you know, even in that statement, it's selfish. I want to live my life surrendered. See, it's not my life anymore. It's his. It's his kingdom, not mine. It's his glory, not mine. It's his life, not mine. In Luke, if you would turn there, Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 26, I want to start there. It says in the sixth month, Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I love this account. It is an account I read often during this Christmas season. And this year, as I was reading it over and over, I saw something that I think we often miss in our discipleship. From the message that the angel brought, the message of conception, the response of Mary was totally unselfish. And sometimes we just kind of read over those scriptures, particularly those familiar ones about Christmas, and we don't stop to think of what an earth-shattering moment that must have been for her. We can recount the story. We teach our children to recount the story. This angel came and saw Mary and told her she was going to be with child. And she said, "How can that be? I'm a virgin." But did you ever stop to ponder on what that moment must have been like for her? Mary, a young girl, just going about the daily tasks of her life, in the midst of her routine, has an encounter with an angel. She not only sees him, but then he speaks to her. I don't think it was one of these little precious moment angels that flit around and come in on the cloud and he was a messenger of the Lord. And he announces to her that she has found favor with God. Do you long to know that? Can you imagine a messenger from heaven coming before you and saying, "You have found favor with the Lord"? To have a heavenly visitation where heaven meets earth. To be told that you are favored by God. What a holy moment that must have been. And he says to her, "Do not be afraid. You found favor with God." And then to be told that your womb, your body, would be the vessel used to carry the Son of God into the world. That though you were a virgin, betrothed to another, you would be set apart to carry the Savior into the world. Her response? What a humbling revelation that must have been. And she says, "I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be to me according to all you have said." A response without selfishness. She could have answered it in so many ways at that moment. I can't do that. What will people think about me? What about my reputation? I'm too young. I've just started living life. I'm betrothed to a man. I want to be with him. I want to carry his child. Just doesn't seem fair. You mean I'm going to be with a child? What about what I want? But no selfishness was found. Simply surrender. The revelation of this story came fresh and anew to me. And as I read Mary's response again and again, I began to see a blueprint of what really happens in the life of each of us when we receive the Lord. You see, there was a day in my life in the routine of my life when heaven came to earth. And I heard and I understood for the first time that the favor of God was shown to me. That He chose me. That He loved me. What a holy moment. And then the message came. He chose to dwell within my body. That the Spirit of God chose me to dwell within. What a humbling. What an honor that the Spirit of the living God would want to dwell within me. Me, carry His Spirit in my mortal body. I am not worthy. No, but I'm chosen. And so are you. It's a blueprint. It's a blueprint. And what will our response be? I am a handmaiden of the Lord. I am a servant of the Most High. May it be to me according to your word. Fully surrendered, fully submitted, without selfishness in all things. What a humbling revelation. You see, He chose you as well to carry His Spirit in your body. To deliver His message to the world. To carry the indwelling presence of God is to love. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not rude, and it is not self-seeking. There is no selfishness in love. Love is selfless. It is the message of Christmas. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, then you too will be challenged to live a selfless life. Matthew 16, 24 and 25 is really the message of Christmas. He said to his disciples, Jesus did, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me, to conform wholly to my example in living and if need be, in dying also. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose it, that eternal life. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here for my sake, shall find it in the everlasting. The message of Jesus is the message of selflessness. The message of Christmas is the message of selflessness. Not the more, not the me, but the less, and the him. That's the message. And it's a message that we should carry within us every day of the year. Every day should be the message of who he is. The message of Christmas. Mariah, would you come, please? If you haven't had this visitation, if there hasn't been a moment in your life when heaven met earth, when the message came to you that you are favored by God. You see, the scripture says that he knew you before the foundation of the world. He loved you, formed you, fashioned you, had purpose for your life before the foundation of the world. And if that visitation has not happened for you, if that invitation has not come to you to receive the life of the Spirit of God, just as Mary had that moment, then let me say this to you. I have an early Christmas gift for you. You are chosen by God. You are favored by him. His love for you is so deep. And the only difference between me and you is that I received the invitation. He desires to dwell within you. You're his beloved. You're his created. My question to you will be, what is your response? He will not force his presence in you. If you've had this visitation, as have I, many years ago, and your answer was as Mary's, I am a handmaiden of the Lord, may it be to me according to your word, then I challenge you, as I have challenged myself, to examine my self-centered ways, to deny myself, to take up my cross, to follow him fresh and anew, to move out that he might move in again. That when Christmas morning approaches, there'll be nothing but a home for him to dwell in. That my life will be void of my selfish ways, and be full of him. See the greatest gift you could give him on the celebration of his birth would be a home for him to dwell. Your life fully and completely surrendered, fresh and anew. I don't want to get to the end of my life and be as King Solomon said, it's all vanity. There's no pleasure in it. There's nothing. Nothing that can satisfy. And so I just want to take a few minutes as a gift to the Lord. Gift to our Jesus, to give him the greatest gift, and that is ourself. That our response would really be completely unselfish. We would yield once again to the visitation. In Jesus' name.